Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Joining us right now from Film Study Baltimore, he is Ken McCusick. Good morning to you, Ken.
Yeah, how you doing, Rob?
Doing well. Ken, before we found out all the information, you remember I was in love with Mike Green, in love with him. Then when I thought he was not going to be drafted by the Baltimore Ravens because of the off-the-field incident, then safety from Georgia became my guy. Starks. They got Starks in the second round. Then the first round, they come back and get the guy that I originally loved, Mike Green. It's almost like a draft Christmas for the Baltimore Ravens.
It was a pretty great first couple of rounds. I don't really love the Starks pick as much. We'll get into that, I'm sure. Let's talk about Green first.
Yeah.
Because that was the most exciting pick of the draft for me. In terms of, we exploded on the stream in terms of seeing that pick and being excited about it. He's got an unbelievable first step. That's the thing they don't measure for with edge rushers. He's bendy like a cartoon character when he's at his best. He really forces, because of his first step, for tackles to overset against him, which usually makes him very vulnerable back to the inside.
Okay.
So he kind of jabs outside. He'll spin back to the inside. And I'm sure Chuck Smith's going to give him other counters to work with as well to make his ability to get to the edge all that more effective. He does run himself out of a few plays. Part of the cost of doing business, I wouldn't be too concerned about him. His athleticism, by the way, says to me he might be a Sam linebacker, which is something the Ravens desperately need. But his pass rushing skills really are made to order to fight against one naked tackle as opposed to a tight end and a tackle.
Sounds almost like a Terrell Suggs type in terms of the flexibility to play both.
Well, Terrell Suggs is really a rush linebacker.
I'm not saying he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but Terrell Suggs was a guy that could drop back from time to time.
Sure. Well, let's hope for that. You want guys who can drop off the line of scrimmage because it improves your pass rush flexibility. So that's what you really wanted, even though Mike Green, you take him out of the pass rush, you wouldn't think that would ever help you. It might allow you to get a free run off the slot or whatever if you did. And so it's always something good to have. He's very much like Suggs in that he'll probably for most of his career line up opposite the tackle who is uncovered.
What about now? Let's get to Starks. we wanted safety depth anyway, next to Hamilton. How do you like him? Has he got closing speed? Can he make up for any mistakes made in the secondary? Get some picks. We haven't seen that in a while.
He's got ball skills. They've been apparent, and a lot of his highlights involve really good ball tracking and finding the ball late and still going up to make the pick and whatnot. He's a very good tackler, so that's really nice. He has not delivered, and this is my basic issue with the Starks pick, is he has not delivered with really great coverage metrics throughout his 3 years at Georgia. Now, he's been a starter at Georgia from day one, which is in itself amazing, but he's gave up 8.9 yards per target last year. Almost 100 quarterback rating, and his career is 8.7 and 93. It's just not a great body of work as a coverage safety. Against some good competition last year, particularly against Texas in their game, he really got taken to the woodshed. Eight passes his way, all complete for 136. So he's had some tough moments as a coverage guy. Most of the national pundits, and every single one is on the opposite side from me, I'll just say that, love Starks and say that it's a usage question, and if you put him in one position, you'll get the true Starks. And it seems a lot like the Brandon Stevens situation originally, I hope he's that player. Certainly hope he makes the Hall of Fame. To me, I liked Emenwori better at safety at that pick.
Do you think Emery is a plug-and-play guy, or is he competing for that spot? When you look at the offensive linemen, obviously taking a couple guys, one seems more like a project, but Emery Jones, what are your thoughts on him?
Probably 50-50 or a little bit less to start in year one. He could get there via injury, but he'll have to beat out Voorhees at guard. I don't see that happening. He's also a guy who could play right guard. I think that would be his more natural position, but Fa'alele is not moving. He really can't play anywhere else. So if you're going to keep Fa'alele, and I think they will, I think he played well enough at the end of the last year to keep the job. Then I think Emery Jones spends this year on the sideline. He is the first man up if they have a problem at tackle. So he'll go to right tackle, and then either that'll be to replace Rosengarten, or Rosengarten will move to left tackle to replace Stanley.
Ken McCusick joins us, filmstudybaltimore.com. I want to talk about the Alabama A&M kid, Carson Vinson, 6'7", 314. The only thing that we saw that he did negatively on in terms of the testing was only bench rep 14 times. Everything else I hear he was off the chart with.
Yeah, he's an odd physical specimen. Very, very tall, very lean, even for an offensive tackle at 6'7", 314. I mean, that's, you don't think of that as being thin, but it really is in his case. He's still a giant among boys on the tape you see of Alabama A&M because, mm-hmm. you know, it's a lot of smaller people, not the biggest and the best at playing at that level. You know, it was the FCS and the Southwestern Athletic Conference that he was playing at. One thing that was not particularly impressive about his game was that he did pick up some penalties. One every 149 snaps would be okay if you were playing the SEC. Playing at Alabama A&M, it's really not. I think if you – a player like that, the first question I ask is why the hell didn't he get an NIL deal at least by year five of his game? And it's very strange, but obviously they probably did not like the functional strength. And I would say – He will not be activated at any point during 2025, and he might not be activated at any point in 2026. But ideally, they'll find out in 26 who he is as a player. So we'll see him a little bit in the preseason. That's all we'll get to see of him pretty much, you know, the next year or so.
But Ken, what's going on with our kicker? Kicking situation just got interesting.
Yeah, it did. I don't really know anything about Tyler Lupead that other people don't know. You've seen the practice video probably of him kicking a 65 and a 70 consecutive, I think, and then you've probably also heard that he had a 62-yard field goal, and that's about the extent of my knowledge. He made 84% of his college kicks, so that's not tremendously accurate. I think it'll be an interesting camp battle. The Ravens also signed another UDFA kicker. I don't know whether they signed him to a contract or a workout, but it's pretty – I would say that's a lot of handwriting on the wall, yeah. Given that if they brought two guys in. If they brought one guy in, sure, it's just competition. No big deal. We've done that five times before. It is their first draft pick ever they've used. And if you look at the position, I mean, I think they were probably – didn't know exactly where they would end up drafting Loop, but they got him in response to the Borgalis pick, which happened at 182. So they said, okay, the run on kickers is starting. We got to get our guy now.
What do you make of – so – again, before we get back to players, was there anybody that you wanted at a certain pick? Now, let's say you liked the player, whether it was the first pick, second pick, whatever, mm-hmm. that they didn't take? Was there a direction you wanted them to go?
I mean, the big one was the very first pick. I preferred him and Worry to Starks. So, I understand I'm in the minority, and I'll be out there buying a Starks jersey next year if he has a big rookie year.
That's okay. Delanie Walker was one of the guys. I don't know if you guys know this. He said he didn't think Shedeur Sanders would get drafted until the fifth round, and they all made fun of him. And now he's the one laughing. Yep. You know, I mean, it happens when you take, and I don't consider it a bold take of what you're saying. You just prefer one to the other.
Yep. Yeah, I'm a South Carolina guy. Yep. You know who I wanted?
Starks.
you and I talked about that. I thought Starks was better than Maury. I think he's good. I think he's outstanding safety. I just think Starks is better.
Yeah. Well, they liked it. They apparently liked the interview. He's very polished. I actually consider that a mark against him, the polish, because he has less upside at the NFL level. Emin Wari doesn't even know how to play the position yet and allowed a 37.1 passer rating last year. To me, that has a lot of upside still left.
We're giving out shovels at 8:30, but on the other side, and there's a guy at the end of the draft, Kim McCusick, that I saw in college. I don't know how he fell this far. Maybe you can shed some light on it to me. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 8:17 in the a.m., Kim McCusick, filmstudybaltimore.com in studio. Ken, listen, man, I don't care how much football you think you know. When you're watching, you don't notice offensive linemen unless they're really bad or really good. And when watching LSU, Garrett Dillinger is a guy that I can remember. He's a guy that stood out to me. He jumped off the screen. And I look up, and after being a four-year player there, what, he started 30-something games there? He's drafted in the seventh round. I'm not saying, oh, this is a guy that fell from the second round. I thought maybe a mid-fourth, fifth-round pick. Why did he fall to the seventh round, and is this a guy that could eventually outplay his draft pick?
Absolutely. So it's the reason why he dropped, I guess, is fairly well known. He had an ankle injury, and he had to have a tightrope procedure done. For those who don't know, tightrope procedure, they put a cord to rebind the tibia and the fibula at the base so that the healing is more quicker and proper, better than with screws. So anyway, people obviously are concerned about that when there's resetting involved. And it's just a high ankle sprain, supposedly, at the time. But that's what they did. He tested at a pro day, not at the combine. And his testing was outstanding, included 30 bench reps, which you wouldn't figure to be affected. But he had great jumps. I mean, right there, that tells you that the ankle's probably okay. He's had some previous injuries, a grade 2 MCL sprain, a broken hand, which obviously is just an acute thing. But the MCL sprain could be a chronic thing. From the tape, I see a lot of real positive things. He's a very good combination blocker, releases on time. He's decisive in a level 2, no issues holding the back end. He's somewhat lungy, I would say, at the line of scrimmage a little bit in the run game, and he can get thrown forward by a push-pull move. He isn't a great athlete in terms of movement, but I think he can do what the Ravens need him to in terms of pulls, and he's a very good pass blocker.
That's good.
That's the side you really need him to do. 3 penalties in 2008 college snaps. You've heard me complain about Simpson and his penalty rate. Almost exactly 1/7 as often is he penalized as much as John Simpson was.
Jeez.
Hey, Ken, going around the division, you're reading how people were graded. The Browns are getting high marks. Mel Kiper gave him an A+. I mean, pretty consistently, everyone is raving about the Browns draft class. How do you feel about this?
Well, they drafted, I think, a couple of inside linebackers, which is they have a hard time beating those picks for value, meaning they get more value than where they drafted them. But they did, I think, they did a good job of trading out a number 2 and getting an enormous return for it, including a number 1 next year, which is more than they probably should get it. And it's a number 1 from the Jaguars, so it could be a really good number 1. So I think from that perspective, they did quite well. In terms of the individual picks, Mason Graham is a very safe bet. I think of the rest of the divisional teams, they clearly had the best draft. I'd probably take the Ravens over them, but I think of the rest of the teams, the Browns did well.
It's funny because I said this about the Ravens draft, and you can look at different outlets, scouts, people you respect in the industry. It seemed like every person had one player that the Ravens drafted as one of their favorites. And I want to get your thoughts on the corner, the linebacker, Buchanan, because there were a couple people that said this guy fits in perfectly for what the Ravens are trying to do. What do you see with him?
Yeah, I didn't have him in my top 10, and honestly, I'd done very little tape work on him, but then I watched it, of course, after he got picked. I liked him a lot more than I thought I would, and he does some things very well. In coverage, he's a pretty good player, 7.2 yards per target, a 53.8 career quarterback rating against, which is no problem with that. He understands more, and linebackers when they're just starting out in the NFL, one of the things that takes them a long time to learn is what's going on behind them in level two, level three gap, and that's where a lot of deep crosses and whatnot and big plays in the NFL happen. And that linebacker has to be able to drop deep. It has to be able to get in the way, get in the passing lanes, and try and affect some of those passes, even if he doesn't necessarily touch them. Just make them more difficult up and down throws for the quarterback. They had glaring needs at the time. They had, a defensive line had not been yet addressed in a very deep class, and it looked like they were going to miss out on a lot of the real value in the class. But I really like who Buchanan is. Good spy, rushed the passer fairly effectively. Does have some problems shedding blocks. He has kind of short arms, and he's had some problems with that at the college level. But a good pick, and I think he addresses a need to have a backup for Roquan and a potential guy who can move in the will spot.
Ken McCusick, FilmStudyBaltimore.com, joining us right now. Ken, when you think about Colorado receivers, you think Travis Hunter, and you should. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. He's phenomenal. He's the number 2 overall draft pick. However, there's another guy there, LaJonte Wester. 5'10", small guy, 4'4", 640. Is LaJonte drafted more to be a receiver or a punt returner? Because he was pretty good at that, averaging over 15 yards of return.
I think being a punt returner is going to give him the offensive opportunities that he would like to have at the NFL level. He won't get a ton of targets this year. I'd over and under him at maybe about 28 targets. Target and a half per game would be about right. But here's the thing. He'll be on the team because he's a punt returner, mm-hmm. and he'll be on the field because of the fresh legs need and the value the Ravens get out of him on gadget plays. And they'll use him down the field some, but really I'd like to reduce the gadget workload of Flowers because he's so much valuable, has so much value peeling off safeties. And the Ravens, I think more than in past years even, and they did it a lot last year, will be rotating in 5 guys a lot on individual plays. A fresh legs offense like the Saints used to have 12, 14 years ago.
One of the things that does impress me, though, 5'10", he had 8 out of 12
yep.
contested catches. That is impressive with his stature.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And he tracks the ball very well in the air. I've seen scouting reports that say he doesn't reach back for the ball well. I saw him on tape him doing exactly that. I thought he made Shadur look better. Presents himself very well when crossing the field. Anytime he's got a corner in trail coverage from one side of the field and he's going to the other, he gains a lot of separation because he doesn't have to sit in the chair. He can just stick his foot in the turf and go. It's very Flowers like. He doesn't have to decelerate and show what he's doing. But the other thing is, he presents himself very well to Shadur. He's always looking back for the football, and Shadur could see and throw it to him. And he was much more effective than Shadur's general receivers. Shadur threw it for 115 passer rating, and the passer rating throwing to Wester was 136.
Okay.
So, great year.
Ken, I was looking around the division at their draft picks. It seemed to me, and I could be wrong, they were gearing their draft class to combat. I still lead the Ravens a team to beat to combat the Ravens rushing game. Pittsburgh took two defensive tackles and linebacker. Cleveland took a defensive tackle in their first pick, as did the Steelers and the linebacker from UCLA. Cincinnati did the same, two linebackers and an edge rusher. Are they like gearing their teams to just overcome the Ravens?
Yeah, I think we've seen that now for several years with picks like JOK and even the Steelers going out and getting Patrick Queen. I thought they would think would be some kryptonite for Lamar. The Bengals have had linebackers that fit in that that class as well. For the Bengals specifically, just since you mentioned them, I really do not like the Shamar Stewart pick. That was a massive overdraft,
yep.
And that really makes their draft not look that good.
Hey, so as you start looking at, have you dove in any of the undrafted guys yet or looked at any of those things?
No, it's coming up. I'm doing it today. Yeah.
I didn't want to jump ahead of anything because I even heard good things about those guys. But I did want to get to the cornerback that I was alluding to before that people were talking about out of Western Michigan, Kone. What are your thoughts on him? And again, I've read people that really love this pick for the Ravens. And I don't know if it's a Ravens thing and people, if they take him, everybody just goes, oh, I love that pick for them. Or if he's really a fit here, but they did draft a couple of corners.
Yeah, the corner position reminds me of the 2018 wide receiver picks they made. Because I'm sure you'll remember right now. It's Jaleel Scott and the other guy who threw the ball in the pond, Jordan Lasley.
Oh, the kid out of UCLA. Yeah.
These two corners, I don't really love generally who they are. Now, they've been through a lot. Bilal Kone had played JUCO 2 years, Indiana State 2 years at Western Michigan. So I don't know whether he's 23 or 24. Can't find a good age on the guy. He certainly has been adequate as a tackler. He's had a lot of pass breakups in his career. He's gotten his hand on the football a lot, but he hasn't converted them into interceptions very often with only two. 9.5% is his conversion rate on those. The pick, honestly, because he's given up a lot of yards per target and he hasn't been particularly good, otherwise kind of reminds me a little bit of the Kayubu Kelly pick. And I hate to say that because it's like stamping it already. Love him for him to prove me wrong. But, he basically, I think one of Kone or Longer Beam will make the team and take JAD spot would be my guess.
Now, you say you're looking at the undrafted guys tonight?
Yeah, today.
So that doesn't mean we can get you tomorrow for a segment?
Sure.
It's just to talk about undrafted guys.
Absolutely.
All right, my man. Thanks a lot, Ken McKusick. See you tomorrow.